Welcome, everyone, to join us today. Our lesson is on page 28 in the magazine, if you have it. And it's a good article because it talks about leadership. And we do need good leaders in the world. And we have some right here in the classroom with us. We have Simon Stops. How are you, Simon?
I'm really happy to be here. This is another topic that I find very interesting and actually very useful as well, because it's pretty closely related to some of the stuff that I do here at Studio Classroom.
That's right. And then we have Zach. Zach, don't you think everybody can learn how to be a good leader, even if it's in your family or wherever it is?
I think they certainly should. Leadership is an important thing, and it's an important topic. And yeah, we'll learn some very important and practical tips for learning to lead well at work.
That's true. So we're glad you're here to be panelists, to help out. And we're going to do some reading. Do we want to start by reading or explaining? What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think it's not a bad idea to do a brief introduction to the ideas that are introduced here. The name of this first section is What's More Important to Young People Than Cool Perks or a Fancy Office? And that kind of makes the article sound like it's about job benefits that will keep millennials happy.
It does, right.
I don't know that that's really a good summary of what the article's about. I remember being in a meeting a few years ago where people were talking about a person who was applying for a job's resume. And the thing about that resume that the person had filled out was that they'd worked at different jobs every year or 2 years through their career. And some people felt like that was a sign that the person sort of couldn't be trusted to stay very long and probably wasn't very good at the job. But other people felt that that was a good sign that the person had been actively developing their career and their skills. And so there's different ways to look at career development. And that's really what this article gets to talking about.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a very interesting way to go at the article. Actually, some people change jobs because they move or because their company closed. I mean, there's a lot of reason people change jobs, but some people might plan to change. What do you think?
Sure. Well, and we're going to be looking at kind of the decision making and the career structuring by the generation of the millennials and kind of what they have in mind moving forward through the workplace. And so I think we're going to learn about a different approach.
It says learn to lead well at work. Now, you might be appointed a job as a supervisor or something, but you might not be that good at it. So you have to learn to do a good job and learn to lead well. When we do something, we do want to do it well, don't we?
That's right. We should be our goal, anyway, should be to really be great at whatever thing we're trying to do.
And it says, you know, right here on page 28 at the beginning there, it says what's more important, as you mentioned, to young people than what we call cool perks or very good, interesting benefits that you get. Or you have a nice office. Is that important? That's what we're going to talk about.
Right. They're going to kind of look at what the expectations are of these workers and try to find out what's driving them towards success.
So should we start reading then?
I think we should.
Let's read the whole first column then on page 28. Read aloud with us if you can. And let's check some of the things we might want to talk about. Let's go.
Leadership in the workplace. Learn to lead well at work. What's more important to young people than cool perks or a fancy office? Amanda Jansen Egan bounced around a couple Milwaukee advertising agencies after graduating from the University of Wisconsin at Oshkosh in 2005. Jansen Egan landed at Jigsaw as a media planner and buyer in 2010. She liked the work and the clients, but she wanted to grow. To move forward in her career, she left Jigsaw after a year and a half. Jansen Egan joined another Milwaukee agency, Laughlin Constable, where she also worked as a media planner and strategist. Jansen Egan said she wanted to return to Jigsaw, and she did. Her bosses, Steve Marshall and Stephen Wald, understood that she became a stronger asset to their team by leaving. After a little more than a year, she came back with new experiences and skills under her belt. Jansen Egan, 34, was recently promoted to junior partner at the firm, empowering her with more say in the firm's decisions. One of her peers, Mike Lutke, 32, was also promoted to junior partner.
So at the beginning of this article, we're introduced to a young professional named Amanda Jensen Egan, and it tells us that she bounced around a bit in her career. Zach, what does that mean?
Well, to bounce around means just to move around, not stay in one spot, but to kind of look for other jobs. So she started in one with one particular company, and she bounced around to different companies.
That's right. And in particular, all of those companies were connected to advertising, and they were all in the Milwaukee area. So she was working for different companies in the Milwaukee area after she finished university. And it tells us she finally landed at Jigsaw as a media planner. And when you land at a job, it means you get a job, but then you kind of stay there for a while. You settle in. And so we found that she landed at this company called Jigsaw, and she was working there as a media planner and a buyer. And that all happened in 2010. So why did she do this? Why did she change jobs so much as part of her career development? Zach?
Well, it seems kind of within her expectation there was a chance to kind of to learn along the way, to pick up new skill sets at different jobs and try to mature herself professionally.
Yeah, she says she wanted to grow. Now, Doris, you're our boss. Are we allowed
sometimes
to bounce around?
Yeah, you do usually. And but actually, Simon is doing a good job in leadership in different ways. And in order to do that, you bounce around into different departments sometimes, don't you?
So we're allowed to change departments, but not change companies, right?
That's right. You can't change. You have to keep studio classroom. Yeah.
So there we go. That's the situation. Mm-hmm. This career path that Amanda Jensen Egan has taken is something that is kind of controversial, because if you're a boss, you might not want people leaving the company and then coming back and then leaving again and coming back.
Well, sometimes it depends on their reasons, too, and whether you need them, if you think they're very important, or they have learned something. And so I think a boss would consider a lot of different things.
Well, yeah, it depends on the situation, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it says here that her bosses, in the third paragraph, they recognized that she needed to grow, that she was a young worker coming in, and recognized, okay, this girl probably has some potential, and that this experience would allow her to have to be a stronger asset.
So she learned different things. You know, we've had people in our company that say, well, I'm in the business department, but I want to go out and work at a bank or something for a while, so learn more and then come back. And you know they're going to do that, but you expect them to come back after they've learned more. So sometimes that's, you know that.
That's right. And so if we were just to summarize the career path that they explained for us in the first couple of paragraphs, she starts working at Jigsaw, and then she changes to a similar job at a different company called Lachlan Constable.
And I hope they're not competitors.
Well, I think they probably were. Mm. But it says in sort of that third paragraph around line 11, it says that she said she wanted to return to Jigsaw. So when she left her first company, she was sort of planning to return to it. So she was actually leaving because she wanted to develop skills in this other company. And she did that, like you mentioned, Zach, with sort of the approval of her bosses, Steve Marshall and Steve Wald. And why did they allow her to do this?
Well, these
things
gave
her... I think that's because she wanted to become stronger, didn't she?
Right. And so she wanted to become a stronger asset to their team by replugging back in. And so this word asset is just to have a useful or a valuable quality. And so if she's working at a similar company, she's going to continue to grow and refine her skills that would allow her to replug back into, I guess, Jigsaw and become that, a stronger team member.
Okay. And obviously leaders want strong teams, right? We want people who are good assets or valuable to the team. And I guess the idea here is that you become a stronger asset by having more skills and experiences. And they go into that in the next sentence where they say, after a little more than a year, she came back to Jigsaw with new experiences and skills. And then they use this interesting phrase, under her belt. So what is it to have skills and experiences under your belt?
Well, I think that just means that it's something that you have learned and has now become your own. It's something that you can use. Didn't people used to put tools in a tool belt that they could use when they went around and do jobs?
Well, I think they still do. Yeah, you sort of tuck a tool in your belt sometimes when mm-hmm. you're trying to build something, right? And each of those tools kind of represents a different skill or job you're trying to do. So as you master each skill and experience, you might say you add that skill to your collection of skills.
So figuratively speaking, Amanda has new tools, right, under her belt, having had that new experience.
That's right, in her tool belt. And it tells us then that actually she's pretty young when all of this happens, because by age 34, after she's returned to that company, Jigsaw, she was promoted to become a junior partner at the firm. And actually, two of the terms there really stand out to me. The first one is junior partner, and the second one is firm. What's the difference between a firm and a company? Do either
Does
of you know?
Know?
I know. I know the
okay.
answer. That's why I asked
All
the
right,
question.
Then, well, you tell us, okay?
So we use this word firm when we're talking about companies that tend to be privately owned by partners.
Okay.
So we
mm-hmm.
use it a lot with things like groups of lawyers will work for a law firm, or accountants, maybe consultants or advertising people. So when you become a partner of the firm, it means you become one of the private owners of the firm.
Okay.
And here she's a junior partner, which means she's sort of a small partner. But that's why it says she gets more say in the firm's decisions, because when they make her a partner, they make her one of the owners of the company.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, well, they empower her. That means that she, they listen to her. I mean, if everybody tells you what to do, you're not going to listen to them. But if there's somebody who has authority, then you're empowered. You can do something. So some other people that work there will have to listen to her. She's empowered now.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not sure how common this is with advertising companies, but becoming a partner is a pretty big achievement in a lot of businesses, right?
To get more salary?
Well, I think you would. You probably would get more salary.
More
and
profits.
If you don't get more salary, you are definitely on the way to getting mm-hmm. a bigger share of the profits. And the interesting thing about this company, Jigsaw, is that they didn't just make one young person a junior partner. They made a second young person a junior partner, too. Can you tell us about him, Zach?
Right there at the end, this guy, Mike, also young, only 32 years old, was promoted to a junior partner. And so this could be a sign of a trend, or kind of a new expectation that's happening within this kind of generation and with these companies, that these young people are getting the proper experience and are being empowered by bosses and such, and developing their businesses through people like this.
So if we take a step back from the text for just a second and we think about how a career usually develops, I guess the idea is that most people will graduate from university and then they get a job and they work hard and they learn that position, and then they slowly move up in the company until they become a partner. And we usually don't think of people being rewarded for leaving the company and then maybe coming back, but we're seeing here a very different model of leadership development, because these young people sort of graduated from university, started working, and then left for other jobs before returning to that original company and then being rewarded for having left. And the reason for that they've given us is that they've left to develop skills in another place. So it's kind of a different way of thinking about career development.
Well, one thing you'll notice here at the beginning up there in line 6, they said that she liked the work that she was doing before, and she liked the clients, but she wanted to learn more. Now, if she'd been somebody who worked at that company and she didn't like it, I don't think they'd ask her back. I mean, she was probably easy to get along with. If you work at a company and you say, well, this company's no good and all, they're not going to ask you back.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really have to get along with your people when you do work there, don't you?
Yeah, and I think we can also assume that she's a very sort of like a good, efficient, productive, hard
right.
worker, because they've made her a partner, right?
Right.
And you wouldn't do that with somebody who wasn't doing a
right.
very good job.
Well, and they're also, it says they promoted her based on, I think, the right qualifications, that she's now more equipped, that she has some tools under her belt, that she is a ready worker, as opposed to, you know, if promotions are just being passed out to those that, you know, right? That you're kind of giving promotions not based on the skill set, but as opposed to something else.
That's right. So we've had this example now of a different kind of career development path. But in our next column, in our next reading, we get into sort of some of the analysis of why that works or why people are doing that. So let's have a look at that reading now.
A different approach. The way people think about structuring a career is changing. In most cases, it no longer makes sense to join a company as a 20-something and stay until retirement. The long-term incentives have ceased at many companies. Different desires are driving how to navigate a career path. When applying for jobs, more millennials than baby boomers or Gen Xers responded that the opportunity to learn and grow and opportunity for advancement were extremely important, according to a Gallup poll. Sidney Finkelstein, a professor of management and director of the Leadership Center at Dartmouth College's Business School, said he is often asked about how to deal with millennials in the workplace. "There's a lot of head-scratching going on," he said. His response is, "Be a super boss," which he defines as the leader who helps workers accomplish more than they ever thought possible.
Well, this second section here talks about a different kind of approach. And it says, you know, the way that people think about structuring a career is changing. And I wonder if people in the past thought so much about structuring a career as getting a job and learning it. But I don't think that the idea was to structure a career. What do you think, Simon?
Well, I think it depends on which kind of business you're working in and which career you want. You could sort of see if someone was working as a lawyer 50 years ago, they would have career goals like wanting to become a partner or wanting to own their own law firm. And you could say that's structuring a career. But there are definitely some differences that we're seeing here. And basically, it's suggesting to us that this is because times have changed and people have changed. We have different generations coming into the workplace, right? So they say, for example, here, in most cases, it no longer makes sense to join a company as a 20-something and stay until retirement. So that's an interesting...
That sounds kind of bad in a way, though, because when you hire somebody, you hope they're going to stay a long time, see?
That's right. You do kind of hope that. So you wonder if it no longer makes sense for the company or if it no longer makes sense for the worker. And I think that's probably a very different thing sometimes,
right? I think so. Right? It depends on who's looking at, you know.
That's true.
I mean, because I remember my uncle, he was in his 80s, and he worked at the PI, the big newspaper in Seattle, and he never thought of, you know, he just wanted one job. He became the sports editor and then something else. But they just kind of all thought they'd work for that company. But nowadays, people don't think that way as much.
Well, and, you know, we talk about different things, even in different articles we've done for Advanced, where they're talking about different aspects of careers and finding jobs. And one of those things we talk about a lot is company culture and the idea that each company has its own culture and way of doing things. And one of the things that is good about having a company culture is that it lets you develop people in the company who then go on to be good leaders in that company. And if people are moving back and forth between different company cultures, sometimes it's harder to develop leaders in the company.
Well, kind of hard to get kind of a loyalty in a way, because especially if you're in a competitive thing, like say you're in an advertising company and you learn all the secrets of this company and then you go and tell them to the other one. There's kind of like a loyalty thing involved too, isn't there?
It's definitely true. But they actually go on to tell us at the end of this first paragraph who this has changed for, who it's no longer making sense for. And the answer is pretty clearly workers, because they say the long-term incentives have ceased at many companies. And when we use this word incentive, it really means reason for doing something. So here we're talking about reasons for staying in a job for a long time. And so you think about things like my grandfather's generation. They They did work at one job from the time they graduated until they retired.
Or one company. They might have changed jobs within the company.
Well, within the company, but with one company. And they tended to receive a good pension plan, and there were good benefits and things like that. But, you know, here in Taipei, one of the things we talk about a lot with young workers is that they don't have the same sort of job security. They can't expect to stay at the same company. There are a lot of contract workers who don't have very many benefits. And so for a worker then, I guess the feeling is if you can't trust that the company will be there for you in career development, you need to take responsibility for developing your own career.
Sure. And I think I can kind of see it on both sides of the coin for both the worker and the company in that, yeah, it is an obstacle to learn one culture at a company and then have to go and change and learn a different culture at another company. But at the same time, if you were to get experience at, say, another company and learn those dynamics, that's, I think those are tools under your belt. That's a skill set that is going to allow you to thrive at a different company, perhaps.
Yeah. And so as we move on into the next paragraph, it basically explains that it says different desires are driving how to navigate a career path. And by that, we mean workers have different things they want or different desires that are basically deciding the way that they are going to pursue their careers or try to build their careers. And it says here specifically that when they are applying for jobs, more millennials than baby boomers or Generation Xers respond that they want an opportunity to learn and grow. So we have three interesting terms there that you may be familiar with, but you might not. Millennials, baby boomers, and Gen Xers. Which one are you?
None of them.
You're none of them.
We didn't used to call it anything. We were just, you know, people. Now all of a sudden you got to be a different generation, right?
So, well, the oldest of these generations are the baby boomers. And
right.
What is it that makes someone a baby boomer?
Well, the baby boomers were considered to be born after World War II. So there was a boom, an escalation.
Because soldiers came back from the war and
right.
They were ready to settle down and have families.
Having families. Mm-hmm. And so that generation boomed and took off, and they gave birth to the Generation X.
What was the Gen X like?
Well, you know, each of these terms kind of gives you a hint about the generation. So the baby boomers are called baby boomers because there was a huge increase, a boom in the number of babies.
Mm-hmm.
Generation Xers are called Generation X because, you know, in math class, we say something we can't explain it or define it. We call it X. And Generation X was in a lot of ways kind of a lost generation.
It was the me generation, right?
Yeah, they were born in like I think the baby boomers were pretty me too. Well, everybody's kind of me, right, when you really think about it. But I guess the Generation Xers, they were kind of born in the 1960s, maybe the early and mid-1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some difficulty figuring out what was going on. And then, of course, millennials were born after that, and they sort of grew up around the time of the new millennium. Millennium, of course, is the year 2000. It means 1,000 years. And so these three different generations were surveyed to find out, you know, what incentives made them want to get a job. And millennials, that is this younger group that became adults around the year 2000, they really focus on opportunities to learn and grow and opportunities for advancement. So they really want to develop as people and develop their career skills, but they also want a chance to be promoted into positions.
Right. They don't want to stay for 10 years. You know, they want to move on and get promoted sooner, don't you think?
I think that's basically what it's saying.
Well, yeah, I think that's kind of the testimony of this Amanda and her colleague, Mike, that, you know, these people, so around 30s, right, that they would be considered millennials. And that's kind of seems to be their part of their career expectation, that they kind of wanted to grow, they wanted to learn, and then to be utilized better within their company.
Well, you notice down there in the next paragraph that this Sidney Finkelstein, he's a professor of management and at a center here, and he says that everybody's asked, how do you deal with the millennials in the workplace? And there's a lot of articles about that, and probably we're going to talk about that again in the future more.
Well, that's right, because, you know, in this article, we've used very positive language, opportunity to learn and grow, mm-hmm. opportunity for advancement. But the negative side of that is that everybody can't be the boss as soon as they start working.
So there's a lot of head scratching.
Yeah, and that's the term they use. He says there's a lot of head scratching going on, meaning people don't really know what to do, how to manage and deal with these millennials. And he has a response. It's a phrase. He says, be a super boss. And then he goes on to explain that being a super boss means that you're a leader who helps workers accomplish more than they ever thought possible.
So you don't say, what can they do for me and the company, but what can I do to help them? So it's kind of a different emphasis there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure really how that would work out, but we're going to have to learn a little more about that tomorrow, right? Because this article will continue tomorrow.
It's going to be a good discussion.
I hope so. So
be sure to
come back and join us tomorrow for more of this article.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.